Sports. Sportsnet 590. The Fan.
How we doing, everybody? Good Thursday morning. Okay, still getting the days of the week right. Happy to be up. Happy to be here with you. Where my fellow grinders at? I've got one sitting right across from me in Sammy McKee. Sammy, no big spiel from me today because outside of Global Jam on Sportsnet, nothing happening in the world of sports last night. So I don't have a big hot intro of everything that's percolating in my brain. So I'm just going to say, good morning. How's it going, pal?
Good morning, sir.
There we go.
Yeah, you got to turn the mic on. I'm just getting...
Brain on first, mic on second.
Yeah.
That's the order.
It's been a tough one to figure out this week, pal.
We got to get you a coffee IV drip.
No, that's not enough. I've been thumping an XL every day. I don't usually get an XL coffee. It's a lot of coffee, but it's just not enough. It's just not nearly enough. Somebody texted in at 5:55 a.m. today and said, "Get fired up, Sammy," with 3 exclamation points.
Love that.
I don't know who the hell that is, but I really need that this morning. I appreciate it. Today is legitimately the slowest day in sports. Right? Because, in Sports Talk Radio, because yesterday we came off of a sporting event.
There was, in fact, one.
There was a sporting event where all the greatest players in the major leagues of baseball got together and played a game of baseball.
Yeah.
Last night, she was a slow night.
It was, yeah.
I watched a bunch of Global Jam.
You nailed it, yeah.
I watched it on...
Almost sounds like you did, yeah.
I watched it on in the afternoon.
Oh.
I watched Germany versus USA.
Okay.
Which is... Kentucky or Kansas? One or the other.
I can't remember.
John Calipari coaches Kentucky?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Kentucky? Yeah. I watched that.
Daniele wincing, not even here.
He just rolled over in his sleep. He was like, God, why am I so upset?
Ah,
and I enjoyed that. I didn't watch the Canada game, though. I was playing softball last night. And God, I suck at softball. So.
Okay. One other league I would like to commend. I'm not going to pretend to care about this. They could literally be playing a game behind the glass where I'm looking right now at our three guys, Austin, Al, and Santman. But MLS, full slate last night. TFC not involved. That's why it's not of local mind. But they loaded up the schedule. I'll say it once. I'll say it twice. I'll say it 800,000 times. CFL.
Well, that was Tim and Sid's old
forever.
Hobby horse.
Yeah.
And it's true.
Anyone with the brains is whose hobby horse it should be.
But at the same time, I've always thought, like, the other side of that is they're like, oh, we're like the irrelevant league that we have to do things to.
Yes.
Yeah, but they don't want to think of themselves like that, right?
That's great.
Yeah? They want to think that they're a better league, and they want to think that they're not like, we're the irrelevant showcase league.
Yep.
Nah, they don't want to think like that.
Okay.
So that's why they don't do it.
They can like to think however they'd like, and I understand. I sometimes, I give the CFL tongue-in-cheek disparagement. It is a professional league. It deserves its respect.
It does.
That stuff. Guess what, though? If you want the most eyeballs on your sport, I don't know. Maybe load up the sched when there's no sports going on. Maybe.
So yesterday, the Vancouver Whitecaps with a massive victory over Austin FC.
Alfonso Davies still playing for them?
No. And then, unfortunately for the Montreal Impact, Chicago Fire got a big 3-0 win over them.
Go Fire. I hate Montreal and all sports.
A resounding 3-0 win for LAFC over the St. Louis team, which I didn't even know St. Louis had a team. So there you go. There's some MLS scores for you. But yeah, I please need, please grinders, when you're listening right
need
now,
you. This
is the number one grind day for Sports Talk Radio. I need you to text in to me, 590-590, and tell me how hard you're working to make me feel that I'm not working that hard. Because I woke up this morning and I was like, oh my God, I actually, we do this a lot.
We do.
And I do Sports Talk Radio all the time, do it every day. And today I woke up at 4:30 to my poor little Lou dog just crying his eyes out, that the storm out there. He wasn't a big fan of that.
No.
I was like, what the hell are we going to talk about? And we've got a wonderful show booked. Thank you very much, Austin Mackey. But
you can hear the lineup in our hands. Fresh, hot off the presses, baby.
But holy hell. This is a terrible day to do sports talk radio. Let's figure out what we're going to do.
So, well, here's what I would first like to do is commend the people who are normally sitting in this chair. I was all ready to be roasting them this week because, well, it's like, oh, we're the regular people who do this. It's a hard time to work. Better get out of here. But no, they are working. They're grinding at 5 o'clock. So I was ready to roast them and then be poking and prodding them whenever I'm filling in later this summer. Oh, I hope you enjoyed the spa. Well, we were, again, grinding in the content minds of sports media, but that's not the case.
Yeah. Every year I'm thinking to myself, remember, so this is very inside baseball. But
That, you mean inside sports media?
No, inside my mind.
Oh, wow.
Okay, so every year I had an old Scotty Cameron putter that I loved to death.
And this is really inside your mind.
And every year they have like a program where you can send it away and it gets touched up.
Polish it up for you.
And they'll like paint it and they'll like
get all a new grip.
You know, it'll come back looking like a new putter. And after every golf season, I'm like, this is the year I'm going to do that. And I would never do that.
Yep.
I am using that parallel to say every year I'm like, I'm booking this week off so I don't need to come on the radio and talk about nothing for a week. And guess what?
Here you
are. I forgot again. So there you go.
Little tough to book it off when you and I booked 6 days off immediately before.
Yeah.
That was a little tough.
Nah.
You don't think so?
Nope.
Okay. Okay.
And my grinders are letting me down. There's just no one texting in. Come on, grinders.
You know why? Because they don't want to hear that we have it so tough because we have to cook up a Damian Lillard take. Remember that guy working in a weld shop? He told me he'd been doing it 40 hours a week since 82.
Yeah.
That's too long for me. That guy doesn't want to hear that we have it so tough because we came up with 3 William Nylander trades that may or may not fit under the NHL salary cap.
And our first grinder text is a guy hating on grinding.
Of course.
So, God.
You going to be all right? No. You needed your people and they're letting you down.
Where do you want to start?
Again, it really is the request. We were out, to bring it back to Alberta trip for a sec. We were out and somebody was playing a song, getting ready to intro it, and a buddy of ours just yelled out, "Play Alan Jackson," and they got right into it. That's very much the program today, okay? If you got a topic you want on the text line and it's good, it's entirely possible we divert any and everything going on just to talk about it. So hit us up there on the text line, 590, 590.
This is your chance to produce sports talk radio.
If you have ever been sitting there, you know who we're getting one text from? I've never been more confident. Intern Al. He wants some fingerprints on the show. He's got some thoughts. He's got some opinions. But yes, if you think to yourself, I have a great topic. I have a great segment. John Tavares, contract restructure guy who texts in every day. Say it again, and maybe today is your day. Okay. We have got in the lab, and by that, I mean we went to catfriendly.com and got in their lab to cook up some Bill Nylander trade proposals.
Okay.
Before
we get into this.
Okay, all right.
I think we should both say
yes
if we what side of this we're on. And I think we're both on the side of that you shouldn't trade William Nylander.
Yes.
Right?
I think the purpose of this exercise is to prove how little you're going to like the William Nylander trade should it happen. That is how I chose to look at this exercise, because the other problem I had with this as well, and again, I will be saying this exact thing when I retweet this hour of the podcast today, I am begging you, Sportsnet, give me an NHL trade value list, just like we see in the NBA. I need it. I have no understanding for where these guys rank. I watch so much hockey, and I have such a hard time understanding who this trade is not in favor of, who's getting too much, who's getting too little. So, again, I am putting out that bat signal. Not Luke Fox, because I put too much work on his plate, but he'd be more than capable. But literally anyone else, get to work, put pen to paper. I want it by the time September 1st rolls around. All right. That is my spiel on that. In terms of cooking up the Nylander trades, I had a time with this. I avoided the two teams that I thought everybody is trading him to in Calgary and Carolina. Those were two teams I just kind of stayed away from. Mm. I don't know how you chose to look at it. I think the way we should do this is kind of go back and forth.
Okay.
If one of us has a trade for the same team that somebody's cooking up, we'll throw that in as part of the discussion. Would you like to go first, Sam McKee? Or would you like...
You go first.
Okay. So again, I will preface all of these trades with I did not throw in any draft pick capital or prospect who I am not expecting to be a major player in the deal because I genuinely do not know who needs to get tipped one way or another, and that's what I'm hoping you will help me do and vice versa. Okay. So, first Leafs trade. And I want to be clear. I think the Leafs need some more here. But...
Okay.
William Nylander.
Yeah.
26% retained salary.
Oh, my God.
Just to make it all fit, okay? Now, full disclosure also, they might be like 36K over the cap on this one, but I'm just going to assume Brandon Pridham can figure that out.
My first one's the Leafs are still $6 million over the cap. So.
Okay. All right.
But it's off-season mode. So
off-season mode and LTIR is also involved in this. Okay. So Leafs send William Nylander at 26% retained. Mm-hmm. To the Los Angeles Kings in exchange for the 8th overall pick in last year's draft, right-handed defenseman Brant Clark and pesky forward Victor Arvidsson. Now, to make this all work, David Rittich goes to Arizona for futures consideration. Somebody's paying Arizona to take him.
Three-teamer?
Well, I got to make a fit, bud.
Oh, my God.
You came on the mic yesterday, said, this is your homework, Gunning. Don't tell me it doesn't fit. Go to Cat Friendly. And then as I'm putting my kid to bed, you're going, I don't understand it. It doesn't work. So, yeah, I did a three-teamer. Now, I think the Leafs need a little more here. But what say you? You don't think so. What say you on the framework of young right shot D? Now, the thing about Arvidsson is he's a pure rental. He's at $4 million, $4.5 million. I doubt you're able to fit him when you look at Matthews and all that other stuff. Mm. What do you say about that trade from the Leafs perspective?
I think it's a pretty good trade. I really do. I think Brant Clark is one of the, isn't he one of the?
He was a junior stud. He was great. Like we all remember, he had 8 points in 7 games that the one world junior he played in. This is a good young defenseman.
And he is, I think he's one of the top prospects like in the league.
ELC has not kicked in yet.
The only thing that worries me about that is just the window.
Yep.
Right. And like, if I'm trading Willie, I'm trading for a D man that's going to be contributing next season.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think, unfortunately, Brant Clark is going to do that. Like, I think, like, did he play at all this year? He played nine games.
Yeah, like, he has not proven it yet. This is a total futures, but, I think this is a guy who, realistically, in a perfect world, you start him on your bottom pair next year.
Mm.
And as basically the Rasmus Sandin conversation we had every year, but with the hopes that he actually develops into a top four guy.
He's 20 years old.
Yep.
Nah, I don't like it.
Okay.
No, like it. You have to get a guy back. Like, I like the idea of it. I like the idea. The fact that you made it a three-teamer makes me feel really bad about my trades. But
I'm gonna pull up the trade machine as you're talking and see how compliant I can get them. But you like the idea of the framework, but the win now window confuses you. And also, I should probably throw in the fact that I don't know that the Kings would do this just because of all the money they have allocated to forwards after the Dubois signing.
Yeah,
there.
It'd be tough sell.
But if you're looking at this as a push-in for Doughty and Kopitar's last window, just like with the Leafs, what helps you more next year, Brant Clark or William Nylander, right?
Yeah, but they're going to have to try to get him under contract. I think that'd be a tough one.
Because of all that, I don't think it's happening. But again, that was my first crack at it.
Okay.
What do you got for me?
Okay, let me see here. I'm going to go, my first one is one of the one that's been talked about a ton.
Okay.
And it's Carolina.
Okay.
And I know this is one that's been out there, but it makes a lot of sense. I'm going to go William Nylander and Kale Yarncroc.
Okay.
Who has a no movement clause, which is
insane. We said don't wild, which is what we said does not count for the purposes of this exercise.
And I think you could, convince him to waive it to go to Carolina probably.
Maybe.
For Brett Pesce and Martin Nakish.
Ooh, that's interesting. Just player-wise, yes. I mean, you're...
So you're getting a D-man in there, and you're getting a guy that can kind of replace Yarncroc, I guess, in terms of Nekish, and you're going with...
He scored a big goal in the playoffs, actually, so I feel like it's completely different than that. But yeah, I do like that move. Obviously, Pesce is my only concern on Pesce, And I want to be clear, this isn't a player who I expect to fall off a cliff at any time soon, but we understand the way aging curves work in the NHL, and we understand that Brett Pesce is a really, really good defenseman, but I don't know that he is a special one. And my worry about any Pesce trade, not just specifically this one, is that you're kind of buying a guy at the end of his best years, and you're giving up a guy who probably still has a handful of them left. Now, all you need is one great year where you win 16 playoff games and it doesn't matter. So I have no problem with it if you think he's the right guy, but that's my only concern with any Pesce trade, not this one. But I think that's pretty interesting, especially the idea of involving Yarncroc as well.
Yeah. So I saw enough of him, and I would like to be done with that contract. And I
you think had moments of talking yourself into him at various times throughout the year.
So did everyone.
I don't know that I did. I was always saying that guy got one shift. Michael Bunting shouldn't have. How dare Sheldon Keefe?
Yeah. Those are tough times.
I disagree. But anyways, okay. This one for me, I do not have a Hurricanes trade, so I'm just going to move on there.
Okay.
William Nylander. 18% retained.
Oh my God,
buddy, it has to work. Okay, we will not do this. We will not do this on air, but it's like, if we were having a math off, I think the people who would lose is general knowledge in the world, but I think I'm worse at math than you. So don't be getting mad, buddy.
No way.
Okay. Maybe for next week, we will track down a grade 10 math teacher that we both had. Well, obviously didn't have the same. Okay. Anyways, Nylander, 18% retained. Two, what team loves every star that's in play? They've
Vegas.
Never looked at a star and not had one
Vegas.
In play. The Vegas Golden Knights for Nick Waugh.
Okay.
Because you need a center. Okay. I do think if you're trading Nylander, you got to help up front as well. And Zach Whitecloud. Now, the reason he was appealing to me is he is on a 6-year deal, pays him like $3 million bucks. If this is a not buy low candidate, but this is a guy who you think can be a championship caliber D for you. Not only do you have him, but you have him on a good deal for a while. I think the Leafs definitely is too strong. Raw also on a really good deal. So you're effectively trading a superstar player for two really good contracts that you hope can be really important players for your team. Because of Vegas just winning the cup, because of how important both those guys were in that run and those contracts, I don't know how much they're rushing to do it, but Vegas is a team who's in on every star. So what say you to that framework of a guy who could be your 2-3C and a guy who could be your 4-5D?
I like both those players a lot. And I think this is a classic.
Am I being unfair to Whitecloud calling him a 4-5? That feels about right to me.
I think that's fair.
Okay.
He played 22 playoff games.
Yep.
Had 8 points. I think this sort of framework is something that if it was going to happen, would probably be correct because you still only have Willie Nylander for 1 year. It's not like you're getting Willie Nylander for multiple seasons. I like that one.
You do?
I'd like that one. I think Treliving and the crew would have a long meeting about that one.
A long meeting, okay.
Because what did you say? Whitecloud's contract's at?
I'm just gonna I'm just gonna pull up the Vegas cap sheet here. Yeah, he's at 6 years at 3 something. Mm-hmm. I want to say, and then Waugh is So Whitecloud, I have it here. He is at 2.75 through the 27-28 season. And Waugh is, he is at $3 million through the 26-27 season. So 4 and 5 years respectively at those numbers for those guys.
That's nice.
That's why it's not the player that you love. You obviously really like both of those players. They just were important in cup runs, but you are trading for those contracts. You're not really trading for those players is kind of how I look at that. Because of the bargains that those deals are and because Vegas loves their stars, probably hard for them to do that. But I think you're right. I think both teams probably have a meeting about it at the very least.
Yeah, the thing is with Nicholas Waugh, he just doesn't score.
Nope.
Right? And it's like, well, I mean, he's like his career high in goals, 15. It's just these trades are so hard to do because you're losing so much.
This is always the problem. And this is the point I wanted to highlight in the exercise. This is the problem with it is that even if Whitecloud went on to be a really solid player, he was the second best guy on your second pair for the entirety of that contract. Mm-hmm. If Waugh doesn't prove himself to be a difference maker and you're looking at big Alex Kerfoot, how much are you going to like that?
Yeah. He's big.
Like, I'm not trying, and I want to be clear, very different game than Kerfoot, but when you do these two-for-one trades, if one of the pieces doesn't live up to the billing, it just nukes the entirety. So
61 playoff games in his career, 28 points. That's an enticing one. I like that.
Okay. I'm happy I could entice you. What do you got for me?
What do I got here? This is a blockbuster.
Ooh.
This is a blockbuster video.
Yay! I'm excited.
This is cap compliant summer.
Yeah.
So it's summer cap compliant.
That's fine.
But I don't know what the hell how they'd figure this out because Brandon Pridham. Still...
We are allowed to play the Brandon Pridham card if he could figure it out.
Okay.
If it's compliant in the summer.
It's compliant in the summer.
That's all I needed to hear.
So they are still, when this is done, the Leafs are still $6 million over the cap. And the other team would be $29,000 over the cap.
So the Leafs have $5.6 million of LTIR to play with.
Yes.
And then Matt Murray's money as well. So that's why it's like, if push comes to shove, all these deals can't happen.
William Nylander.
Yes.
Kale Yarncroc.
Okay.
And Nick Robertson.
Okay.
For Keandre Miller.
Oh, I got a Rangers one too. As soon as I saw that deal, I said, got to get it in there.
Keandre Miller.
Yes.
Barkley Goodrow.
Oh, me too.
And Alex Lafreniere.
Whoa. The Lafreniere part I did not have. I'll just quickly give you my
the exact same trade.
Pretty similar. Leafs send William Nylander to the Rangers for Keandre Miller. And I just did Barkley Goodrow, but I'm trying to get the Rangers to retain 30% to make me really like that contract. That's why I didn't ask for Lafreniere as well, but I'm also not throwing in Yarncroc and Robertson. Yeah. I don't know how much those guys are actually worth. So that's interesting. We both had pretty similar frameworks. You just got a little sexier, let's be honest.
Every time I watch the Rangers,
Miller just sticks out. He's so good.
I'm drooling about Miller.
So tall.
Tall. Range.
That's the word you use all the time.
Defensive. Like he's just
mean.
He could immediately be the Leafs' second best defensive.
A bridge deal he just signed that takes him right through the end of John Tavares' contract.
I'm not sure that's allowed to trade for him yet. Like, what's the deal? Is it like the NBA?
I don't think this is an NBA thing. I think a player can be traded and signed at any point in time. And our friends at Cap Friendly would have told you that through the league registry there.
So,
the fake league registry.
So William Nylander and Kale Yarncroc. I'm shipping Kale.
I got no problem with it, by the way.
I'm shipping him out any chance I get. So you kind of replace, you know, Kale Yarncroc's minutes with kind of Kale Yarncroc again. Barkley Goodrow, a little grittier, and he plays
center.
I think he's a $3 million more.
Like
he's not very much. He's a center. He gives you a little bit more versatility. He can kill penalties for you. He can do all that stuff. Obviously, you get Keandre Miller and Alex Lafreniere, who. It's not worked there.
Nope.
And there's been issues. I know it's a new coach going in there now. Where is it? It's Laviolette, right?
Yep.
I've got all my hockey men mixed up. It's Laviolette, right? Laviolette goes in there. Maybe he can figure it out. But it's one team's broken project for another team's broken project. Kind of sell yourself on like a new change of scenery for both of them.
One of those projects was a soapbox racer in Nick Robertson, and the other was a Ferrari in Alexi Lafreniere.
Neither have worked.
Okay. Fair. So, they're both sitting on cinder blocks right now. Very fair to say.
So there you go. That was my biggest blockbuster.
It's so funny because as soon as I saw the Miller trade, I knew the Miller contract yesterday. I knew one that would just bring him front of mind, and two, I went, I love that deal. We got to get him on the Leafs. I got to find a way here. Mm-hmm. So I'm right there with you, obviously, slightly different framework for me. Lafreniere, again, to bring it back to our friends at Sportsnet.
I can't say his name. Lafreniere?
Lafreniere.
What did I say? Lafreniere?
Yeah.
Lafreniere?
I don't know. I mean, buddy, just...
Yours is right.
Here's the rule. Like when doing tennis highlights on the update desk, you just say it confidently and move on through it, and nobody other than somebody from there is going to question you. And if they do, you just say, sorry, I got it wrong. Okay. Lafreniere is the guy who maybe across the league has the most interesting, I won't say trade value, but I'd be so curious to see how he's viewed across the league because
there's a lot of people sniffing around him.
He wasn't Bedard. Like, I am not trying to put it on that level. But he was not one of these, just a year, first overall pick guys. No, he was supposed to be special. I remember him at the World Juniors, again, spitting mad, spitting blood, dragging that carcass of a Canadian team that wasn't all that good as far as he could. So I'd be very curious to see him in a new spot. And honestly, he was a guy who, not last year, but when the Rangers did have their playoff push a couple of years ago, him and Hedl and the rest of the kids, they were looking good. So I'm kind of curious what happened there. There's definitely something there. Nobody's ever needed to change a scenery worse than early on in their NHL career than this guy.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure going to the next most ravenous meeting market would be the best thing for him.
There's only one worse, and it'd be Montreal, and obviously that's not happening.
Somebody texted in. I love that people are getting in on this. Adam Pellick from the New York Islanders is the main trade piece. I'm not sure they'd do that.
No. I don't think so. I don't think they would. They really like him. Also, just the idea. Although Lamoriello's given out lifetime contracts to guys. So I was going to say, does Willie Nylander's camp want to sign up for a negotiation with Lou Lamoriello there?
Adam Pellick's really good.
Really, really good. Super undervalued guy. And by that, I mean, he's just a defenseman who doesn't score a ton of points. But really nice player. Love the contract. Love what he can do. And he's played on some of those kind of stout defensive teams that, you know, you want to bring that identity of, you know, way of thinking to them. So yeah, that'd be an excellent centerpiece. I just don't know. How those pieces fit.
You know who would be into that? The Isles broadcasters. So they don't have to say Pullock and Pellick every game.
I'm sure they would be really
happy about that.
It is. All right. So I gave you my Rangers one here. I have two more for you.
Okay.
That was my third.
Okay.
This one is a straight up one for one.
I think we can have the same thing.
Oh, really?
Go for it.
Okay, say the team.
No.
Why not?
Yeah, you just go ahead.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I think the Leafs probably have to add a sweetener here.
Mm.
One for one.
The trade is one for one?
One for, again, like, until the Leafs have to add a sweetener because you're telling me I'm being a homer.
Okay.
Staying within the division.
Okay, no chance.
Similar to looking at a young defenseman in L.A., a better, more proven, slightly older defenseman in Detroit, William Nylander for Mo Sider.
Oh my God, no chance.
What would the Leafs have to do?
A lot.
Okay.
Mo Sider. Isn't he like one of the best young players in the league?
He is a great young defenseman who has 1 year left on his ELC, but if you were a team like Detroit, look around at what they've got. They got Raymond. They think he's a game breaker. Maybe. He had a good rookie year. We'll see what happens there. They went and got DeBrincat because they need a game breaker. Okay. We'll see what happens there. They've had Dylan Larkin forever. They've wanted to get him some help. They never have. If you want to get an exciting, dominant offensive player who is in the peak of his career at 26 years old, I'm not saying it has to cost Mo Sider, but if you're looking at a kind of one-for-one deal, you have to give to get. And again, that's why I say I think the Leafs would have to throw in other pieces. I do. But I don't know that it is a complete non-starter from a Wings perspective, unless they're just saying we are still in holdback mode. Because if they're remotely trying to win, that is the type of move. I'm not saying you have to make it for Nylander, but that is a move for a proven commodity in the peak of his career who is ready to win, all of that stuff. Tell me I'm crazy, because I think I am.
You're crazy.
Okay, that's fine.
Go to Mo Sider's HockeyDB.
Yeah.
And just look at the picture of him, please.
He's a hunk.
No, it's the wildest photo you've ever seen.
Oh, okay. I'm going to pull this up right now.
He's got his Medusa hair going.
Oh, okay. I like it. Let's see. Whoa.
Oh, yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That is quite the picture.
We weren't expecting that, were you?
I wasn't. It's basically, I'm trying to think. It's a little like Mozart-y meets Led Zeppelin. Is that a fair way to put it?
Mozart meets Led Zeppelin. Okay. I got two more for you.
Okay. I also have one bonus non-Nylander trade that I did try to throw out earlier in the summer, but we'll save that for after.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So this one is just one for one, and it's William Nylander for Erik Karlsson, 50% retained.
Not interested.
No chance.
I do not. I am of the opinion that Erik Karlsson is the last thing the Leafs need right now in the entire universe.
On a 100-point defenseman?
Yeah. Well, it's more the other stuff. All I ever hear in my life is that the Leafs can't kill a cycle and they got caved in and they're weak and all. And I'm not even disagreeing with most of that. But Does Eric Carlson feel like the prescription to any of those things? If John Klingberg was the exact opposite kind of defenseman that you had signed and you were still looking to do that, maybe I could be talked into it. I think from an asset management point, you are effectively turning William Nylander into the absolute push-in point of this, as opposed to all the other ideas of trades we've talked about that could potentially have him be, have the window be extended a little bit or kept kind of in the same realm. It feels like the exact opposite. So to me, that's just a no. I do think the Leafs would talk about it for sure.
The reason I got them to 50 is because that's a huge piece for them to get.
Massive.
And they would probably sign them long term.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah. And that's why they would have to do 50. What do you think? Would the Leafs do it? Not true.
Imagine running out of decor with Morgan Riley, Eric Carlson, and Klingberg in it. That would be a electrifying ride.
Okay.
Things would be happening.
I was gonna say, I'm like, I want to take that smile. I want to text you this picture. You smiling, saying that to you December 13th.
I'm not even saying I want it.
Okay.
I'm saying it would be a really, really wild ride.
It would.
There would be high event hockey.
It'd
be getting away completely from what they did like for the last couple of years, where they really prioritized defense, and that didn't work really either. So then they just stopped scoring.
Yep.
So I don't know.
Fascinating.
I'd be lying if I said I wasn't interested at the idea of Eric Carlson.
Okay. I mean, Eric Carlson at, what has he become, a $5.5 million player then, right? For the last 4 years of that deal, because he's 11, so half retained, 5.5 there. Obviously, you love that. Obviously, you love the way that fits in your cap. You love the player. I just think it is far and away the last thing they kind of need back there. And I'm not even Mr. Go get seventh defensemen who are just butchers. Like, I understand the need for a Carlson type. It's just you have to in Klingberg and Riley. And if you're talking about building out the decor in the way you want it, not the guy for me, but love the idea. You got one more?
I got one more.
Give it to me.
William Nylander and Connor Timmins to the St. Louis Blues for Colton Parayko.
What's Parayko's deal? Do you remember?
It's long.
Long and not overly expensive, if I recall correctly.
I'm just trying to pull it up here quickly.
Colton Parayko is on 6.5 for 100 more years. And he's 30 years old already.
Yeah.
That's more the issue with that for me. How's Colton Parayko at 30? That doesn't feel right.
Yeah,
going off Cap Friendly's age there.
That doesn't track.
But that's the issue for me, is I think you're getting, it's kind of the opposite of the Carlson deal, right? You're getting more the player you need style-wise, but you are clearly, in my opinion, losing the asset. Timmins, I don't care about. I did like the move. I didn't think they needed to rush to give him over $1 million for 2 years.
Yeah. He owes Dubas a nice Christmas card.
Boy, does he. I understood, like, I can see the roadmap of, oh no, if this guy plays power play, well, the power play, it goes ice cold at times, so you didn't need to worry about that. I have no problem with getting rid of Timmins. I got no problem with bringing in Parayko. I just don't know if William Nylander is the chip you want to cash in, and that's, quote unquote, all you get to show for it. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't know if I'd do it.
Yeah.
But I'm just thinking of how you're going to improve this decor long term. Right. And that guy's under contract. I mean, there's a lot of conversations about the way he plays the game in terms of
is 30. I've just plugged it up. I genuinely didn't believe that for a second. Cap Friendly and Hockey DB. Yeah, he's 30 years old. That's
6'6", 228. Just a big guy who can move the puck, you know, fires it. I don't know. I'm just trying to figure out how the hell they're going to improve this decor.
Yeah. My only issue with that is at $6.5 million at 30 years old.
Yeah.
There's a very real world where in 2.5, 3 years, and I understand Muzzin's was injury related, but you could be having a Jake Muzzin conversation all over again with Colton Parayko. And hey, if he gives you the first 2 years that Muzzin gave you, certainly something to be said there. So I love it. Let us know what you think of these on text line 590-590. Please include your name and location. What's your favorite one that we collectively threw
Rangers,
out?
Rangers, no doubt Rangers.
Rangers, yeah.
Rangers, and I think your most reasonable one was probably the Vegas one.
Yeah.
But it's just not enough scoring for me. And it's not, and we're doing Sports Talk Radio, it's just not sexy enough for me.
The idea of William Nylander has been dealt for Nick Waugh and Zach Whitecloud, it really would not get the juices flowing. It'd be the exact opposite. You know what? Actually, now that I think about it, I was about to say it'd be the exact opposite of Tavares signing. And maybe it would, where we'd all be like, what? This stinks. But it actually, in the long run, works out. All right. My last bonus one.
Oh.
We were just doing, you know, I threw this out, I think, the day after the season ended or something like that. Non-Nylander division, pricey winger division.
Mm.
Ultimate, neither team would do it, I think.
Oh.
Mitch Marner.
Oh, my God.
In the division.
Oh, my God.
For freak of nature, Sasquatch center, under contract for 7 more years. Tage Thompson.
Oh, my God. That is such an incredibly wild trade that neither team would do. But, I mean, like, if, you know me and Tage. You know me and the Savers.
Well, and you
I have a dalliance.
And you know me and 16.
No. If I'm trading Mitch Marner, it's for an absolute stud defenseman.
So the reason I keep coming back to Thompson is that because with Matthews being here, you will never need him to be, injury aside, and if Matthews is injured, who cares what happens to the season anyways, you will never need him to be your bona fide number one center that can take all the heat, all that other stuff. And I don't have it all in front of me right now, but I remember looking at the numbers. As great a season as Thompson had, his shooting percentage jumped like 7% from his career average to this year. Not really sustainable. So that's why I think Buffalo would maybe...
They'd do it.
In a heartbeat.
They'd do it.
Okay. In a heartbeat.
For sure. Mitch Marner is really good.
It is not about Marner. It's about if you think Tage Thompson is your 40-goal number one center under contract at $7 million, when Austin Matthews, who is a better player, no doubt, is about to sign for what, 13.5?
Yeah, sell. Mitch Marner is really good. Mitch Marner has 554 points in 507 career games. He's excellent at hockey. He's one of the elite guys in the league. No chance the Leafs do it.
Okay. All right. Throw it out. We're doing
it. I know that your Marner blinders are on right now, but no chance.
This is not even me saying I would do it. I just think if you were looking for a different look to the group, that is certainly one of switching out your super small skilly winger for your freak of nature Sasquatch center.
We got a text. Trade request here.
Yep.
Willie, do you have the cap registry in front of you? I'm not sure this is going to work.
I can pull it up.
And Robertson for Zadorov and Backlund.
Okay, hold on a second. Off-season mode.
I do love Backlund and I do love Zadorov, but I don't think that's enough.
Mm-hmm. Look, quickly thinking about it, Backlund, Zadorov, obviously it helps you out in kind of both things you want to do. You get nastier on the back end. That was the other part of it. When I was looking at these trades, kind of how I operated from, I know it's weird to say because they all involved a sexy defenseman, with the exception of Zach Whitecloud, sorry, but I looked at needing center help. If I'm trading William Nylander and I am not getting a bona fide Norris stud number one level guy, I think you need to get help at center up the middle with this team. Because if you're extracting William Nylander from the forward group, it doesn't need to get necessarily as dangerous a forward back. Obviously, that's not going to happen. But I was kind of thinking the way I went about it, like when I made my crazy William Nylander Mo Sider trade that the Red Wings would definitely not do, the more I think about it, I started it with, okay, Andrew Kopp at blank retained and what? Because I want that kind of versatile middle six center. Because John Tavares is going to play center for this team in the regular season. But if you could give him some nights off, or you could flex him to the wing, or you have a guy who can spell Domi in those spots as well, I think that's really important. So that's one of the things I was looking at as well there.
One text before we go to break, and it's praising me, so that's why I'm going to read it. My boy Brian from Toronto, love the Rangers deal. It makes sense. Yes, Lafreniere is a project, and so is Robertson, as he is made of glass. The rest of the deal makes sense for each team.
Yeah,
thank you, Brian. I agree.
I don't know the Rangers are... If the Rangers trade...
Rangers are getting the best player in the deal.
Yep, they are.
No question.
Without a shot... Are we positive we'll be saying that in 2 years about Keandre Miller and William Nylander?
But I'm saying that right now.
Okay, that's very true. Keep the text coming in, 590-590. We are going to talk about the Toronto Raptors, believe it or not. We've talked about them all week. We're also going to read some of your texts. Grinders.
They've been grinding.
Where are you?
You've been grinding? We got some.
We're going to grind over your text when we continue here and maybe talk about the Raptors one day. I promise you, Justin Turbidy will share at the very least one Pascal Siakam thought at 8:30. That will happen today. But coming up next... More complaining about the trade machine. More fake William Nylander trades, more of me being crazy, and a lot more of you on the text line. Fan Morning Show continues here with Gunning and McKee on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Fan Morning Show. Gunning and McKee here, 590-590. Please include your name and location, whatever you got for us. If you're grinding, we love that. We've been grinding over the text. McKee's grinding. Just gave out an audible sigh off mic. I don't know if that's pretty much exactly what it sounded like. You were Cobweb Central today, right now, just this week in general. We'll get him out there for you.
I just saw someone text in, Tom Wilson.
Just do
that's
it.
That's it.
Just Tom do it. Wilson. Find a way. He is the like white whale of a certain segment of Leafs fandom. Would not complain if he was a Toronto Maple Leaf. Let me put it that way to you.
Would you complain if it was Tom Wilson for William Nylander?
Yeah, like
you would?
If this is 2 years ago and before he missed a whole season, I can hear that. Not even hear that. Be excited about that.
He played 33 games this year and scored 13 goals.
I think
he's 78 penalty minutes.
I think he's. I am not going to sit here and tell you that he's washed, he's cooked, he's anything like that. It's just all the conversations we had about, be it Parayko, be it Pesci.
1 year deal.
Are you pushing in to win now and pushing your big? Because honestly,
I absolutely do it. One for one.
One for one.
No question.
You would do that right now.
Right now.
Right
sign
now.
It up. Sign me up, baby.
That is. Done deal. I got to be honest. I love you. I love Tom Wilson. That's terrible asset management, in my opinion.
Well, they're both on 1 year contracts.
Well,
right?
Yeah, but I think if you're going to be let's say both guys.
And you sign him for a smaller cap hit than Nylander's going to look for. It's okay. A hometown guy coming home. He's going to want to be the guy. Sign here for what's his contract right now? $5 million?
Five.
People laughed at that contract. Remember that? When he signed that, people were like, oh my God. And looking back, it was like, oh yeah, that was a great contract.
Yeah.
I just think if you sign, he just brings something to your team that like, you think they're hard to play against now. Like, you know, you bring him in here. It's not like he's a grunt. You know, he scored 20 goals multiple times, fights, does everything. Like, I don't know. I just think it'd be a really, really good mix.
It's going to be 30 by the time the playoffs roll around. That continues to be my issue, is that if you trade, do you think, given everything we've seen from this Leafs group, and I'm not just talking about last year, I'm talking about the entirety of these guys' kind of core, the time they've all been here together. Do you think they are absolutely ready to win in the next year or two? Do you think that the John Tavares window is the one they're going to win in? Because if that's the case, then I think it makes all the sense in the world to do exactly what you're talking about, be it a Parayko, be it a Wilson, be it somebody like that. But if you are of the mindset of there is going to be a reset of this organization post Tavares contract, then I think you have to make a William Nylander trade, not with only that in mind, but with at least that partially in mind.
Yeah, I think that's fair, but maybe it's just I love Tom Wilson.
I know you do. I know you do. It doesn't mean that you can't want to trade for him. I'm not telling you can't. I'm just saying that when you look at what's William Nylander, 26 years old?
Yep.
Still right there in the peak of his prime? 27. Okay. Tom Wilson, 29, so a little closer apart or a little closer in age than it seems, but he's had the wear and tear. He's had the playoff miles on his body. He's had the injuries that Willie just, quite frankly, hasn't had. And honestly, I think it's pretty fair to say that Willie's game is going to age a little more gracefully than Tom Wilson's.
Yeah, for sure. But I think there's a reason why.
Well, yeah, I mean, one guy's a pure goal scorer skill guy, and one guy's Tom Wilson, who, again, I'm not disparaging as a player.
Sounds like disparaging.
No, I would love Tom Wilson on the Leafs. I just don't understand why the Leafs have to give up one of the more marquee forwards in the league for a guy who is, again, in the back half of his career, who is coming off an injury-rattled season, and who has a million miles on his body.
Should I put this to Twitter?
The poll? Surely your Twitter account that is nothing but Owen Sound grit grinders.
That's not true.
Only
two of my buddies from Owen Sound have. I'm doing it. I'm going to put it. Okay, so let's talk about something else. Grinders? Anyone
sure.
else
go
out
ahead.
There?
Go ahead. You've got me all
hot and
bothered by your just throwing William Nylander aside for 1 year of Tom Wilson.
You're throwing 1 year of William Nylander away for 1 year of Tom Wilson.
Okay.
Right? William Nylander's not going to sign here. He's like, if it hasn't gotten done by now, they're trying to grind the Leafs.
I don't believe that to be true. I don't believe that if Willie Nylander hasn't signed today, he's never going to
Here's boys. Just got off a 12.5-hour night shift. Listening to you guys grind. Appreciate it big time. And please put your name down so I can credit you. Remember, you can always roast the Leafs for wanting to win their contract negotiations more than a cup. It's like, yeah, you know what? You're bang on about that. It's like, just why does everyone have to win? We talked about it on Monday, but it's like, why does everybody have to win so hard? But yeah, the further this goes, like I've heard Frank Cervelli on Bunkus's show before the window even opened that every passing day that a contract doesn't sign, the likelihood of a trade gets more like, if you want to be here, just take like for once, one of these guys take a little bit less.
Well, and again, that's the problem. Is I think they're worried. It's not the Spider-Man pointing meme, but is the office finger guns meme of all of them pointing around going, who's going to take less? And Willie doesn't want to be the only one to. Now, Willie is not Mitch. Willie is not Austin, okay? So the idea of thinking them all in the same exact salary ballpark doesn't make any sense. But they are all superstars in the league, and if two of them are going to ring the bell for every red cent they can get, I totally understand why one guy is going to say, yeah, I'm not going to do it. Now, I think I know it's a one-year deal, but like a Max Domi taking less to be here, that's different. That doesn't weigh into the equation for those guys. Max Domi and the core four or whatever you want to call it, very, very different circumstances. But for me with that, I look at a guy like Nylander and I understand why he doesn't want to be the only one, but it is infuriating that this is the only team that happens on. And it all goes back to, like we were talking about, once you sign Tavares and you set the internal cap at 11 and the math, you said it beyond that.
But at some point, the rubber's got to meet the road. Like you can't just, one of the number one criticisms of the last general manager here was his inability to win a contract negotiations, giving into these guys, right? Mm-hmm. And it's like, you can't start the new tenure with the exact same thing happening.
Do not disagree. But I also think that doesn't mean you should go lose a trade because you're afraid of losing a contract negotiation.
Just grinding this morning at 4:30 a.m., to deliver everyone's favorite Frito-Lay products. Can we get, this is Brock from Peterborough, can we get like a, there goes my hero, watch him as he goes. God, keep working hard. 4:30 a.m., that's what they make you get up to deliver delicious, delicious chips to all the stores, eh?
Just got to say, I was not working at that time, but that is what time ye old alarm is scheduled for. So that guy's already grinding when my alarm punches me in the face.
I love that. We used to work a convenience store shift when I was in high school. I worked overnight shift 2 days a week. And the highlight...
That's where your grit comes from.
The highlight every day was the guy, the Frito-Lay guy would come in and he was such a beauty. And we'd have like this solid 35-minute conversation every day. And I need every those 2 days a week. Boy, did I need that around 5 a.m. when I've been there. I think it was 9:45 to 6:15 was the shift.
What a grind. Well, you were in high school?
Yeah. Well, I was like in between.
Okay. I was going to say, geez, what child labor laws in this province gone to, you know what?
Yeah, I know. So anyways, there you go.
Love that. Shocker. The Tom Wilson stands have arrived on the text line. Wilson has more heart and grit in his pinky toe than Nylander does in his whole body.
I'm still looking for the lie there. Still looking for the lie there.
Okay, now let's talk about the release. Let's talk about the hands. Like, there are many things we can point to. And again, I want to be so clear
Gunner
about this.
Hates Tom Wilson.
No.
We get it.
Would take Tom Wilson on the Leafs in a heartbeat.
Would be happy to have Tom
Wilson on the Leafs. Would not be squandering what is... So, okay, let's look at it this way. If you... Because I'm kind of getting the tip from your tenor that you think he's as good as gone because he's not signed.
Yes.
Now. Okay.
I really think he's gone.
So if that's the case, is he the best trade asset the Leafs will have available to them in the foreseeable future in terms
For
of...
For sure.
Okay. So is the best possible use of that to acquire Tom Wilson?
Probably not.
Okay.
But would I like it?
Okay.
I'm not asking if it's the best. I'm asking if I would do it.
Okay.
Which I would.
But why would you? You can't do it 100 times.
If the trade was put in front of me.
Yeah.
And I was one of the general managers.
Yeah.
And I liked it most, I would do it. I would consider it. I would do it. I mean, I'm not saying that it's the best, clearly, but I'm saying I would obviously do it.
Well, to me, if you're going to do a trade, it should be the one that you think is going to put your team in the best position to win. And again, I'm not saying that Tom Wilson cannot help this team. I'm not even saying he can't help them more than William Nylander. I'm just saying I don't know that you push your chips in on a guy, push your only real chip in on a guy like Wilson. Again, really, really like the player. Just don't know that he's the guy I'm pushing what is really my only good chip available, because they can go trade another first rounder 3 years away from now, or maybe Fraser Minton pops off this year in, I don't know, Kamloops or wherever it is that he plays. Easton Cowboy goes out there for the Knights and tears it up. Maybe these things happen and those guys become great assets and they can use them. But right now, if Nylander's gone, he is the easily best asset they have. So I think that's why they got to be really, really careful with it. Grinder text, I see him coming. 590-590. Please include your name and location. If you got opinions on a Nylander trade, we want to hear that as well. Little bit of a golf show coming up in the next hour. Still the Fan Morning Show, but plenty of golf coming up. Joe House, host of Fairway Rolling, going to join us at 7. Then we're going to have Bo Van Pelt join us at 7:30. 2 hours left in the Fan Morning Show here with Gunning and McKee on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.